James. If you've missed any of the first of the outlines, I have those up here at the front. You can pick those up after the service, page 1 and 2, front and back here. And then this will be your third page. And the theme of the book of James, of course, is, as we've said, is faith that works. And tonight we're going to get into where, as the old evangelist used to say, this is where the rubber meets the road kind of thing. You know, it's good to talk about concepts and principles and theology, but when it gets down to where you live, and when it gets to the point where you got to do something with it, that's where the rubber meets the road, all right? And so James picks up here, as we pick up in verse 19 tonight of the first chapter, we come to the third major point of our outline. You'll see, you remember on your first page, I gave you an outline of the entire book, and this is our third major point, as we'll look at verses 19 through 27 on this main point. So if you found that, James chapter 1, beginning verse 19, invite you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. And James is continuing and begins this thought. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, contrary to what you think, it has nothing to do with the election last night, okay? So just, you know, that doesn't have anything to do. We could apply it to anything, but notice this. That verse seems to get quoted a lot. It's good advice. We'll talk about it in a minute. For the wrath of man, verse 20, worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Would you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that tonight, as we gather in this place, that we seek the guidance and leading of your Holy Spirit to teach us and to help us to understand in these very important days what it is that you have for us. There are many who are playing church. There are many who play religion. But it's very clear from your word tonight that there's some things that you expect. And there's a test to determine whether we're genuine in our faith or not. I pray, dear Father, that as we study this together, that we would examine our lives, examine our schedules, examine our weekly activities, and ask, Lord, are we really, truly genuine in a walk with you? Lord, I thank you for what you'll do tonight through the teaching and preaching of your word. And this I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You know, our world is full of bad religion. What's tragic is that the thing that should help us in our walk, in our families, and in our jobs, help us to be healthy and happy, that is our faith. That too many times those things become complicated. We become hypocritical. We become self-serving. And that is not the intent of our faith with the Lord. When you think about those things that are going on in our world, You think about the tragedies and the terrorism. You think about the uncertainty and the unrest. And yet, to try to compensate many times, many religious leaders try to force themselves upon others through guilt, judgment, self-righteousness, without any forgiveness and without any love. I don't think God intended for our faith to be directed at a lost world that way. In one of his best-selling books, Dr. Chuck Swindoll wrote this, and I quote, "Too many folks are being turned off by a twisted concept of the Christian life. Instead of offering a winsome and contagious, sensible and achievable invitation of hope and cheer through the sheer power of the Lord Jesus Christ, more people than ever are projecting this grim-faced caricature of religion on demand. I find it tragic that these religious killjoys have succeeded in taking away the freedom and the fun out of faith." End of quote. We must have a proper response to the Word of God. A faith that works, and this is the main point of number 3 of our outline of the book of James, is that a faith that works is one that is through a proper response to the Word of God. There are people who will disagree with you on many things. We must stand true on the fundamentals of the faith. There are some things we must plant our flag and be willing to die for. But yet there are so many things in the Christian life and our walk with God that can be turned opinions or preferences. We must learn to distinguish between fundamentals and preferences. Fundamentals we'll be willing to die for. Preferences, we just learn to accept that others are different and have a different opinion, but we can still live and work together as for the cause of Christ because we agree on the fundamentals. Too many churches and too many people have been snatched away because those that did not live this proper response to the Word of God and their faith tried to force their own opinions on one another. Well-meaning, I'm not saying they were bad people. I'm not saying that they were even lost people, but I am saying this. It'd be a great day in your Christian life when you understand that not everybody's going to agree with you on everything. And when you're understanding that there are some things that we can never, ever back down on, but yet there are some things that the Word of God gives us freedom, that when there is no clear-cut principle, there's no clear-cut teaching, one way or the other, that we learn to live in unity and acceptance. And I think that has given rise in our day to what I would call counterfeit Christianity. Those that try to live a religious life without being obedient to the principles of God's Word. James sees this even in his day. And in this passage of Scripture, he leads us to help an understanding that a true faith, one that a true religion that follows the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be one that's going to work because there's a proper response to the Word of God. There's a litmus test in this passage of Scripture. James gives us these two things. I list them as A and B on your outline. We'll begin tonight with the first one in these first few verses. But the first litmus test, which is a very important factor of understanding if someone is a true believer in the Lord or if they're just playing religion. First of all, that proper response to the Word of God will produce a life of obedient living. That's letter A. in verses 19 through 25, as we read just a moment ago, a life of obedient living begins with, first of all, being obedient in our talk. Isn't it interesting that when he addresses the subject of our speech and our conversation, that in this first verse, he uses terms like swift and slow. And we must understand where we need to be swift and where we need to be slow. We need to be swift to hear, but we need to be slow to speak. Too many times we get those two backwards. We talk before we listen. We speak before we think. And how much damage has been done? And how many times have things been said that if we had just slow down on our speak and speed up our listening, maybe that devastating event may not have happened. But he tells us here that in living in obedience in our talk, it is so important to understand that when we're swift to hear and when we're slow to speak, he gives us one more phrase that too many of us forget. We also need to slow down in our wrath. You say, Bridget, I'm not an angry person. No, we're not talking about wrath in the idea of anger. But the wording here has the idea of a concept of being slow to judgment based on what we've heard and what's been said. How many times, don't raise your hand, don't punch anybody, and certainly don't look and point. But how many times have we rushed to an opinion without all the facts? How many times did we hear part of a conversation, or we heard part of the story and we didn't get the whole story, and the person who's telling the story, they didn't know what they were talking about story, but we didn't know that. We thought they knew what they were talking about. And we rushed to judgment. We rushed to an opinion about someone or something, and we find out later on all of that was wrong. And it wasn't the whole story. And if we'd known the whole story, we would have felt completely different about the situation or about the person. Isn't it interesting that James tells us not only to slow down in our speech, but slow down in our judgment based on what we've heard and what's been said? I contend to you that one of the most dangerous things and the things that we have to be very careful of, it's not only what we say, but how we say it. I think that's one of the dangerous things of social media in our day. And we see so many times on social media things that are said, and then there's like a long list of comments that are going back and forth, and they're trying to correct or justify or clarify what was said and what was typed in, because you don't hear the voice. You don't hear the tone. And all that can make a world of difference. But the bad thing about saying some things on a social media site or texting is just as bad as when you say it verbally. You can't ever take it back. You know that once something is out there in the internet world, it's always there. It's always there. Someone's going to see it. Someone's going to find it. It'll pop up sooner or later. And you got to be careful, because it's just like when you verbally say something to somebody, you can never take it back. It's already been said. You can apologize all you want, but the tone and the wording has already been done, and the damage happens. James is reminding us as believers that if we're going to have an impact for God in this world, then we've got to be careful in what we say and how we say it. We must spend more time listening and less time speaking. And then we need to really slow down in our judgment of what's going on and around us. He says here that just hearing is not enough. We can be hearers, but there's something else going on. And he expounds upon it in verse 20 and 21, because the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Let's lay apart this filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Exactly as I was expounding on, that's how I explained it, and that's what James is meaning. You hurt your Christian witness. You hurt your ability to share the gospel with that lost person if you've been running your mouth without listening. And if you've been quick to judge without knowing the facts, you could ruin any opportunity of sharing the gospel of the saving knowledge of Christ to someone who's dying and going to hell. Because they're going to look at you and say, why would I listen to you? I knock on doors all the time and try to talk to people about the Lord. And through the years, I've had so many, why do I want to hang around with a bunch of hypocrites? I get so tired of that. I really do. I've learned to come back with some zingers back on them, but that's not my point. It's not to out-zing them. My point is to show them, listen, we all have our faults and we all have our failures. But we shouldn't have our eyes on man. We should have our eyes on God. Amen. And when we are not obedient in our talk, and when we're not following the proper response to the Word of God in that area, we hinder our witness. But notice number two. In this obedient living, it's not just in our talk, but it's in our walk. You know, there was that cute bumper sticker that came out many years ago. It's not only enough to talk the talk, but walk the walk. You know, you remember that? The guy who came up with the bumper sticker didn't really come up with that. James came up with that here in this passage. It's not enough just to how you speak, but it's also what you do with it. It's our walk. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Doers and not hearers only. It's not enough just to say that you're a Christian. You need to live it. It's not enough to go to work tomorrow and share with that person who doesn't know the Lord and just tell them, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm a member of a church, and all those kinds of things. But if they don't see anything going on in your life that's different from the world, that has no reason to cause them to follow the same God you claim to follow. If we're living like they are, why would they need to change? Just doing is not enough. There needs to be a change in our inner life. Don't just say you're a follower of Christ. It's like he says in verse 23. It's like someone who's a hearer but not a doer. It's like looking yourself in a mirror, is what verse 23 is saying. You look at yourself in a mirror, then, I don't know, probably none of you are like this in the morning. You probably look just as beautiful as you are right now when you first get up out of bed. Your hair's in place. Your everything is in back. You're ready for the day. And if the publisher's clearinghouse cameras showed up at your door with balloons and that big check, you're ready to greet them at the door. I'm sure most of you are like that when you get up in the morning, right? Yeah. James says here that a person who is not a doer but just a hearer only, it's like a person who looks at themselves in the mirror and just walks away and doesn't change anything that needs to be changed. You forget, verse 24, what kind of person and what you look like, and you didn't comb it out or brush it up or touch it up or whatever it is you do so that you could face those cameras from Publisher's Clearing House, or you could just walk out the door and do what you need to do for the day. A person who is just a hearer and not a doer, whose life has never been changed, is like one who looks in the mirror and never sees anything that needs taken care of and just walks away. But that person in verse 25 who is not a forgetful hearer but is a doer, this man, this person, will be blessed in his deeds. You know what this world is looking for? Is looking for somebody who is just genuine about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, since Jesus left this earth, there have been counterfeits, false prophets, cults of many forms and fashions. And too many times our world gets distracted by the ones who make the most noise and who have the biggest following, and then when that falls apart, everybody else just kind of falls apart and says, yeah, I told you so. They're all a bunch of crooks. They're all nuts. They're all wrong. But what that lost person in your job or in your community or in your family needs to see tonight, it's not one who gets carried away with just saying something, but they do something about it. Like shoeboxes for kids around the world. Like cranberry sauce and meals for families who are in need. Like going out of our way to meet a need for someone who has a need, and we don't really care who gets the credit, who gets any notoriety for it. We just there to help make a difference. You see, the first litmus test of a faith that truly works is that litmus test that obedient living is a proper response to the Word of God. What's tragic is that there are people who will sit through Bible studies and Sunday night services and Sunday mornings worship services and Sunday school classes and youth meetings and men's prayer time and women's prayer times, and they go back and they never do anything different based upon what they've heard and what they've heard said and what God has spoken to them in their hearts. They're the person that's looking in the mirror and walks away and never does anything about it. They listen, but they never do anything for it. And James said, you're missing it. Those folks who are looking for genuine Christianity, those folks who are looking for a faith that works, they've seen the cults. They've seen the boys. They've seen the big stuff and the people who make a big show, and there's nothing to show for it. They've seen that. They've had enough of that. What they need is some genuine person to take them by the hand and say, let me tell you what the Lord's done for me in my life. Let me tell you how he saved me one day. Let me tell you how he healed me of cancer. Let me tell you how he provided for us when we lost everything. Let me tell you how he's led and put a marriage back together and brought a wayward child back home to the Lord and way he saved our, and on and on and on you could go. That's what this world's looking for. We don't need big signs, and we don't need to make a lot of noise to do it. James says, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. Be swift to listen, slow to speak, slow to pass judgment, and at the same time, what you hear on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, as you've looked into the mirror of the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit reveals to you what you need to do, then you get back out in that world and you make a difference. You live that life of faith. And you don't need to be a pastor to do it. You don't need to be a missionary or an evangelist. You don't need to be ordained or be on staff. You just need to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this world's looking for. And that's the proper response to the Word of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your Word tonight. Thank you that it challenges us to listen, wait, be patient. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would allow us to have a proper response to when we hear a sermon or Bible study or lesson. When we hear a song or a message on the radio or the internet or television. But we just don't sit and listen and turn it off and go about our business. But Lord, we allow that to change us. Whatever we need to do to be right with you, that your Holy Spirit convicts us of, Lord, may we make that change. May we do something about it. We should never walk out of this church after hearing the Word of God boldly proclaimed and faithfully taught. We should never walk out of this church the same. Something should be different. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in all of our lives to be obedient and faithful. A lost, dying world needs it. They need to see genuine faith that works. May we, as members of this local body of believers, may we be known as those people who really love Jesus, who are genuine about our faith, and who seek to make a difference in our world. And only then will we be having the kind of impact that you have for us to be. This I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. God bless.